Join me in Matthew chapter 22. We continue our walk through the book, the writings of the Holy Spirit as given to Matthew. Moving to verse 34, please. You see it there on the projection. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the Holy God. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law in the prophets." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we have heard this passage, I would suspect, numerous times. In and of itself, verses 34 through 40 here, drawn out, if you will, and held alone many times. And it can be held, it is substantiated in and of itself. But I must admit to you that when you take this commandment and put it back within chapter 22 and chapter 23 that's following, I'm a bit challenged to understand, maybe even confused, as to why the Holy Spirit would have Matthew, and we find similar words in other Gospels, exactly where it is in this passage, in this text. Standing alone, we've heard preaching and teaching on this, I would imagine, many, many times. But then when you lay it back down and start looking at context, again, challenge that it finds its way where it is. I mean, Jesus in chapter 22, chapter 21, he's been speaking about things of judgment. Harsh things of judgment against non-believers. There's been talk of paying taxes in the passage just before this. Paying taxes to Caesar. Now that just gives warm fuzzies to everybody, right? But again, here it is in relationship to that. And then in chapter 23, we'll do this next week, our Lord Jesus turns it up another notch on the Pharisees, pronouncing seven woes, seven statements denouncing, I mean just flat out denouncing the Pharisees and the religion of the day. So you would have to say that the context here is quite harsh in our Lord's message. However, context helps us to understand exactly the teaching of which our Lord Jesus is giving in this most familiar passage. Here among this harsh content, these words of judgment, these words of woe and denouncing, Jesus speaks what is termed the greatest commandment, the great commandment. This is it: to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Now, I would imagine, just kind of putting myself in their perspective as much as one can 20 centuries apart, this was probably accepted very well. I mean, what was the religion all about? To love and to honor God. So I don't think this one caught them off guard, that Jesus would say, "Love the Lord your God." However, this next statement, I'm struck that it was a confusing tone for them. Verse 39, it says, "And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." To love neighbor, as I love and care for myself. Now that's challenging enough, because we love ourselves a lot. But then he said the second one is like the first one, where the first one is telling you to love God with all that you are. So in context, here the Lord God is saying, or excuse me, Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor in the same way. You know, you might scratch your head and say, "Lord, are you sure you got this right?" But then he goes on. I mean, our Lord Jesus is known for this, just adding layers. Verse 40, he says, and on these two commandments depend all of the law and all the teaching of the prophets. Now, this law expert that is asking Jesus this question is a law expert by education, by design, by his familiarity with the law. And so when he hears Jesus Christ say, these two commandments is what all of the law and the prophets is based on, that man's head is probably going, evidently, sir, you don't know as much as I do. But that's exactly what the Lord is teaching. All of the law of the prophets depends on this teaching. The first one, as I said, makes sense, to love God. But when Jesus adds that second one, to love your neighbor, this was different because it put love for God and love for neighbor on the same platform, the same level. And this was not a pharisaical teaching. Yes, they love their people and they love their neighbor. But back in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember Jesus said, you'll love your enemy. They probably haven't gotten over that one yet. Now, let us be clear. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? If Jesus says we are to love our neighbors like we are to love God, while we probably don't do it well, in our confession we would say, I love God. Holy, righteous, mighty, pure, high and lifted up, majestic in all ways, you know, the whole line. I love God. But neighbor. So who is the neighbor? It's anyone we meet. The Pharisee, the Sadducee, the Gentile, the black, the Hispanic, the Oriental, the rich, the poor, the person sitting to your right, the person sitting to your left, the person standing on the corner as you turn to go into Walmart that says he will work for food. The dear little lady at Walmart, who this week paid with exact change, precisely, counted out. We weren't in the express lane. Dropped a penny. And neighbor. The man, the woman who cut you off in traffic and then waved to you with that single finger. Please excuse me for the reference. Neighbor. You know, that was totally radical thinking of our Lord's day because these people were taught to hate the Samaritan. They were taught to hate the Gentile. But you got to love your neighbor. Radical thinking for that day. And let's be honest, it's radical thinking for us today. So why is this great commandment found here? Let's dig in. The law expert, the man of the lawyer asked, which is the greatest commandment? Because see, this was important to the Pharisee. This was important to this law expert because you, of all of the 613 laws and sub-laws and parts of sub-laws and sub-parts of parts that they created, they wanted to know which one was the most important because that's the one they wanted to concentrate on. Lord Jesus, if you tell me this is the one, I'll get this one. And Jesus answered him directly, which is something he rarely did, but he answered the question directly, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And the second one is just like it, love that neighbor. And all of the teachings of the prophets and the laws stand upon this. So indeed, what is our Lord teaching? First of all, to love the Lord your God. Folks, this is the whole duty of mankind. This is the whole duty of creation. To love, honor, and reflect that love and honor toward God. It's the whole spiritual law. It can be summarized in one word, love. To love God. And this love is to be fully given with no restraint. There are three alls in our Lord's statement. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And Mark adds, all of your strength. So please do not be confused with what Jesus is teaching. Everything about your being is to love God. Nothing about this is to be taken half-hearted. All. Second, this must come from the heart, it must come from the soul, it must come from the mind. Meaning the entire essence of person, the entire being of person, the heart, it is considered the hub of the wheel, the center of all of our thoughts, words, and deeds. The heart and the will of the person is to be inclined toward love of God. The soul, the essence, the very being, inclined toward the love of God. The mind, yes, this speaks to intellect, but it also speaks to attitude. To be inclined toward the love of God. Nothing is left out. So, what our Lord Jesus is saying here, that with all of our faculties, with all of our being, with all of our essence, with all of our heart, with all of our actions, with all of our decisions, with all of our thoughts, should be moved toward that reflecting or portraying that love of God. How do we do with that? And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, if I ask each of you personally, you probably say, I don't know. Especially when you define neighbor as we have defined it. But to think that loving God, to think that loving neighbor is on par with loving God. I'm not so challenged by the neighbor part. I'm more challenged by that aspect of it. That neighbor is on par with loving God. Well, it's an easy answer to give as to why. Because our loving our neighbor is a reflection of the true love of God. Because just like Jesus Christ loved you while you were still yet a sinner and gave his life for you that you might be in fellowship with him for all eternity, that is our relationship to that one that might be unlovable. And see, some of us in this room should depend on that very much because some of us are unlovable. Some of us make it hard for others to like us. So we should really appreciate that aspect of love. Two passages I'd like to pass on to you that underscore this tremendous teaching. 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, he's a liar not about hating his brother. He's lying about loving God. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So that family person that you just can't stand, you better work on it. Second passage, Matthew 5, way back in the Sermon on the Mount. This one's tough. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. Here, Matthew, the Holy Spirit is teaching that if you are in the aspect of worship and remember that there's an issue that you have not resolved from a brother, leave worship and go and resolve that before you come back. We say something very similar to this in communion. Paul says, examine yourself. And if there is unresolved sin. Now please note the word unresolved, unreconciled. There's always sin going to be there, but you've come to grips with that and you've confessed and repented that and you're here at that table of grace. But if you're standing fast in that sin, then don't come to that table. Here Jesus is saying, if you're in the act of worship and you remember, go do that first. See, love of neighbor reflects the love of God. This twofold command for love is the peg of which all of the law, all of the prophets' teaching, All of the New Testament teaching, everything hangs on that peg. And if you take that peg of love out, then everything goes away. That's what Jesus is teaching the Pharisees. This is why we find this great commandment in context here with all this language of judgment. This is why we find this here in this harsh words toward the Pharisees. Because you see, a religion without love has no substance at all. You can have all the externals you want. You can look the part. You can be seen as religious from the outside, which these Pharisees excelled in. Come look at me and see how religious I am. But if you do not have a heart of love, then that is an empty faith. This is what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. The Pharisaical folks, those who are into the religious externals, those who pride themselves in looking the part because I want you to see me. Now, we are to live by the commands. We are to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. People, as it teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to be the light and the salt of the earth. We are to have that influence. But if the motivation of your heart is to look religious so somebody thinks you have faith, then you're just like the Pharisees and have lost heart. If it is without love, you have lost everything. Does that sound familiar? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, you'd be surprised at the people who pride themselves into having that air, not in true prophecy, but understanding the times and professing themselves to be able to understand. That's what Paul is saying here. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, then I have nothing. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Folks, the Pharisees were probably stepping back now in an incredible way because Jesus is pouring it on. And as I said, in chapter 23, it gets worse. But folks, the folks of religion need to hear this. That if you have all these things, but not love, you have nothing. If you pride yourself at your activities in the community and working to help the needy and working to do all of that, thank you if it's out of the right heart. You see here, the Pharisees, they were the noisy gong. They were the clanging cymbal. All they did was say things that got on your nerves, and there was no heart. But you see, following Jesus, being about the Christian faith, it's all about heart. It's all about love. Jesus said in Matthew 15, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Their heart is far from me. For us as a church, this should be constantly on our minds. What is my motive? What is my ambition? Again, we are to be the salt, the light. We are to be that one that influences the Christian, in a Christian way, influences the society. I pray right now, whatever sphere of work or home or school or place the Lord has placed you, you are in an act of redeeming that place by your actions. But if you're doing it so that they see that you are a good person and they see that you are a churchman and you like to point out those things, then you might need to do some self-evaluation. I entitled the sermon, "The Love of God, the Love of Neighbor." Simple question. Do we love or are we the noisy gong that just gets on people's nerves? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this teaching. Let it sink into our hearts and minds just as deep as those that were there that day that heard this the first time. And I pray that we would take this word and Holy Spirit come and administer to us the power of earnest thinking. Help us to look deep within all of that make up our lives. Search out the motive of our hearts, Lord. Reveal that to us. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our minds. And let us love our neighbors as ourselves. And I know, Father, I need to work on this. It's not something that comes easy. I would dare say everyone in this room as well. But through your Spirit, we can do this. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.